incredible calendars that were extremely precise. And they constructed devices to track astronomical activity. And all their temples and all this were designed to track and predict all of this astronomical activity. And the History Channel claims that their calendars are prophetic. In fact, one calendar from the 9th century predicts that white-skinned gods would arrive from the sea on March 15th, 1519. And that's the precise day that Cortez sailed from Spain to the New World. Again, according to the History Channel, the Mayan calendar predicts that on December 21st, 2012, the Earth will be in perfect alignment with the sun. It'll be in perfect alignment with the sun in the center of our galaxy, and astronomers agree that will happen on that day. And that's the day that the Mayan calendar ends. And some say that this alignment is going to set off all kinds of catastrophic shifts in our planet. And some believe that this alignment will cause the sun to intensify and literally fry us. Others say that an unknown planet or meteorite will crash into us and set off a worldwide tsunami. And we actually know the kind of destruction that they can inflict on a region. And imagine the devastation worldwide. In addition to that, fire will rain down from heaven from the meteorites, and we will surely face extinction. Oh, but it doesn't end there. There are Chinese writings that predicted the fall of the Roman Empire and correctly predicted both world wars that predict that the world will end on 12/21/2012. The History Channel tells us of a Roman oracle in 600 BC, who foresaw a distant apocalypse that will come in 2012. And of course, there's Nostradamus, who lived in the 16th century. He also predicts the end of the world in 2012. People cite his predictions of Hitler's rise and the attacks of 9/11 as his credibility. But there's more. There's also a computer program called WebBot. And WebBot is designed to predict stock futures, and it predicts, this computer predicts, that the world will end in 2012. And WebBot apparently accurately projected the earthquake and subsequent tsunami, including the 300,000 casualties. It predicted the anthrax attack. It even predicted Katrina. WebBot predicts catastrophes of varying intensities in 2012 that will lead to the end. Now, one of the things that strikes me is, you know, what happened to 1980 when it was going to end, and what happened to 1988 when it was going to end, and what happened to Y2K when it was going to end, because all these same people kind of predicted those ends. And listen, if I took all my cues from the History Channel, it would lead me to live with an almost paralyzing fear, because the end is near. So what's going on with this? And what are we going to do? Well, here's the deal. If I didn't know what God has already said, what God has already revealed, I would be as afraid and perhaps even as paranoid as the next person. And by the way, I'm not here to bag on the History Channel, so please don't think I'm preaching against the History Channel. People watch the History Channel and they believe what they see in the History Channel because, well, it's history. Or at least it's future history. My point is merely this. Let me say this. Don't trust everything that you hear. Don't trust everything you read. And that even applies to what I say. Search the scriptures for yourself. Learn the scripture for yourself. So I'm sure that you can detect my cynicism. It's a big surprise to many of you that I'm being cynical today. But the truth is, I am cynical. One of the reasons that I'm cynical is because I know that fear sells. Fear sells books and television shows and movies. Fear sells almost as good as sex. Now check it out. The last thing that I want to do is use scare tactics to get my point across. That's not my deal. But I am cynical about 2012 being the end. So let me tell you why I'm not canceling my gym membership and eating Twinkies for the next 2 years. When you dig into these alleged prophecies, you begin to realize that they're extremely vague. They're like that daily horoscope that you read in the newspaper. They could not be more vague. In fact, if you read all 12 of them, you're like, they all fit me. They couldn't be more vague. And these prophecies of these aforementioned sources, they could not be more vague. And that makes them very different than the specific prophecies that we find in the Bible. Now, here's what's troubling to me. The History Channel and these other outlets seem to be pushing an agenda. They're preaching their gospel of despair and ruin. But folks, look, calendars and cycles and cultures end. Polar shifts apparently do take place in our galaxy. And vague prophecies are bound to come true, or at least appear to come true. But that doesn't mean that the world will end in 2012. In fact, if you do your homework and your due diligence, you will begin to see that these predictors are really not very reliable. The secret to good predictions is to keep them very general and very vague, and that way people can draw their own conclusions, and those conclusions can take you anywhere that your imagination or your medicinal medication will take you. You certainly would not want to plan your life and your future around these predictions. And again, there's a vast difference between the general and vague predictions of these sources and the specific prophecy that we find in the Bible with Isaiah and Daniel and others. By the way, in Old Testament times, a false prophet was anybody who made one false prophecy. They only had to be wrong one time, and they were labeled and were a false prophet. One false move and the prophet was done. Lights out. All right, so we have a choice. We can listen to the vague predictions of people who've been wrong, or we can listen to and adhere to the infallible Word of God. And again, my concern is that this preys on people's fears, and it makes a lot of noise, and it makes for a big shebang. And it can take on a life of its own, and people will accept it as gospel, and it will affect who they are, and it will affect how they live. And it shades the truth, and it distorts the truth, and it hides the truth. It's like a bad connection on your cell phone. Have you ever been on an important call and the call was breaking up? It's the worst. It's so frustrating and annoying. And that's what all of this is. They're messages, but they're breaking up. We're not getting the whole picture from these guys. And what it causes us to do is we miss out on God's message. We miss out on God's important message because we have all of this interference and all this stuff that interrupts us from the truth. And it's so much noise that clouds what God really wants us to hear. Now listen, God has told us specific things in His Word. God has given us specific prophecy in the Bible. He has revealed Himself and His ways to us in the Scripture. Through the prophets and through Jesus, God has told us about life and about what we can expect. And all of this extra stuff muffles what God would say to us. It hinders God's message from getting to our hearts. And you see, God has told us all of these things so that we won't live in fear. God has told us these things so that we will be confident of what He has done. And so today and next week, I want us to see what God has told us so that we will not live in fear. And I want us to see what God says is the reality of our life and the reality of this world. And when we know what God says, we will not live in fear, and then we can live life with purpose and resolve. And I think that's what all of us need, and I think all of us desire for a new year, is to live with purpose and resolve. Jesus talked about the end and its coming in Luke chapter 21. The Bible says some of His disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Teacher, they ask, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place? And he replied, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and saying the time has come. But don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Did you see what Jesus said? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. Don't live in fear. You're not to be alarmed by the false prophets and the false messiahs. See, God sent Jesus so that we would have confidence and peace. Peace with God so that we don't have to fear anything, not even the end. Do you realize that God wants you to walk in this year and live in this year with boldness and confidence and with great hope and with resolute peace, knowing that you are His child and that you are walking with Him? Do you have that kind of confidence? Do you have that kind of relationship with God? And you might be thinking, well, I don't know if I can trust Jesus. How do I know I can trust Jesus? What makes Him different than Nostradamus? It's a good and valid question. And I'm telling you that you can trust Jesus because God sent real and 100% accurate prophets to tell of His coming, and He fulfilled all of those prophecies. Now, there are other verifiable signs that we can trust as well. But Jesus Christ is all that the prophets in Scripture claimed that He would be. And He's all that He claimed to be. And so you can trust everything that Jesus says. He is all that the prophets said He would be. He is all that He said He would be. And you can trust everything that Jesus says. And you can even trust what He says about the end. Now, over the next 2 weeks, we're not going to look at all 61 prophecies that were written over 1,500 years by the Old Testament prophets, but I will tell you this. In the weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to look at what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And we're going to talk about those prophecies in a series called Thread of Hope. So let me encourage you this year to continue seeking the truth through the Scriptures. Now, today, just let me show you an example of a specific prophecy, and you'll see the contrast of that specific prophecy of the Bible and those other vague predictions, all right? And let's look at Isaiah. In 680 BC, Isaiah wrote what we know to be the book of Isaiah in the Bible, in the Old Testament. 680 years before Jesus came to earth, Isaiah wrote this. And we have proof that this was written before Jesus was ever born. And by the way, you can check it out yourself. There's a manuscript that's part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it is the book of Isaiah pretty much word for word. And there's a particular copy of Isaiah's writing found there in the Dead Sea Scrolls that's carbon dated 150 years before Christ was born. This copy is from 150 BC, and it's the complete book of Isaiah. And you can read it. You can go see the Dead Sea Scrolls and you can read it if you can read Hebrew. It was written before Jesus came, and that's important because it foretells of this coming Messiah who Jesus claimed to be. And it contains signs of what will happen before the end of time. And again, God has given this to us so that we can know the truth. God has given this to us so that we can live without fear. We can live with hope and confidence. All right, so let's look at this warning from Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead, and with their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. And people who contradict His word are completely in the dark. Isaiah, who claims that he is from God, all right, not like these other predictors, they don't even claim that they're from God. Isaiah, who claims that he's from God, says, don't go consulting these other sources for guidance. Don't look to the mediums and those that consult the dead with all their babblings. Look to God. Listen to God. Look to God's instructions and teachings. Read the scriptures and see that they are trustworthy and that they lead to life and peace and freedom. Now look at what Isaiah says right after that in chapter 9, Isaiah 9, 9 verse 6. Okay, he's just warned us not to listen to this other stuff, but listen to God. He said, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. And he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Now, I want you to notice that this prophecy is very specific. Isaiah says that a child will be born. Not only a child, but a son will be born. And he will hold titles that only God can hold. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we must recognize that in the Jewish culture, they believed that there was only one God. And it was blasphemy to assign the name of God to anybody but God. So this could only mean one thing. God himself is claiming that he will reveal himself and be born into the world as a child, as a son. If you go back up and read the beginning of chapter 9, you'll see that Isaiah says that he will come from Galilee. Jesus lived in Galilee. Isaiah says that Jesus will come, that he will come from the family of David, and Jesus descends from King David on his father's side and on his mother's side of the family. Isaiah gets even more specific with even clearer signs in chapter 11. Look at verse 10. It says, in that day, the heir to David's throne, the original literally says the offshoot of Jesse, that's David's father, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. And the nations will rally to him. And the land where he lives will be a glorious place. And in that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people, those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia and Elam, in Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. And he will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel, and he will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. Now look at the beginning of chapter 12 again in Isaiah. And in that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. And see, God has come to save me, and I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has given me victory. Do you see that? He says, I will trust him and not be afraid. And that's the point. You can trust God. You can trust everything that Jesus says, and you do not have to be afraid. The Lord is our strength. He has given us the victory. All that Isaiah said is true. His land is a glorious place. And the children of Israel are returning. The day that Jesus spoke of, when those walls would come down and those stones would be piled on one another, it happened in 70 AD. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. And from 70 AD until 1948, there was not a nation of Israel. But now God's people are returning the second time, just as Isaiah prophesied. Did you notice the other thing he said? He said that all nations will rally around Christ. There are Christ followers in every nation, on every continent on this planet. Come 2011 or 2012, God is in control. And we can trust him. And he alone knows when it will end. And he is worthy of our praise. And he has come to save us. And he is our strength. And he is our song. And he will give us the victory. When we follow Christ, with everything that we have, there's no fear of the economy. There's no fear of layoffs. There's no fear of death. There's no fear of when the end may or may not come. And God wants us to live without fear. And when we understand His promises and when we trust Him, we can live without fear. And it doesn't matter what the world's prognosticators say. It doesn't matter if they say January 2nd, 2011, or if they say December 12th, 2012. What matters is what God says. And God is truth, and His word is true, and you can trust Him, and you can live without fear. Now, there's one more thing I want you to see in Isaiah's writings today. They're found in chapters 52 and 53, and I'm not going to read it all. You can read it for yourself. Go home and read chapter 52 and 53 of Isaiah. But let me read a portion. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. And really, there was nothing beautiful or majestic about His appearance, nothing to attract us to Him. And He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. And we turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. 680 years before Jesus walked into Jerusalem claiming to be the Messiah. 680 years before He willingly allowed His hands and His feet to be nailed to a cross. Isaiah said that He would suffer for our sins. 680 years before He was mocked and beaten and spat upon and abused and eventually died, Isaiah said that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would suffer for your sins and for mine. And if you want to live without fear, if you want to face the future without fear, you need to know the true and living God who holds you and this entire universe in His hands. And His name is Jesus. And He died to save you from your sins. And then He rose again to give you a life of purpose here on earth and to secure for you a place in heaven. And if you've not taken Him as Savior, I would encourage you to take Him today as we pray. Father, when we see Your greatness, Your power on display, we're truly amazed. And then even more amazed, God, at the consistency, the truth that we find in Your word. And Father, that everything that Isaiah wrote has come true in Your Son, Jesus. And we recognize today that it was our sin that put Him on that cross. And Father, I pray today, if there's one here that's never given their life to Christ, they've never believed in His death and burial and resurrection and put their faith in Him, I pray that today, this moment, would be the time of their salvation. And if you want to accept Christ today, would you just pray this way? You don't have to say it out loud, but mean it in your heart. Just cry out to God and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that, like Isaiah said, I've gone and done my own thing. I've turned from you and done my own thing. I've sinned against you. And I'm turning from my sin now, believing that Jesus died and that he rose again so that my sins could be forgiven and so that I could live a full and meaningful life following him. Save me today, Lord, because of what Jesus has done. And God, we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.